everyone, and welcome back to another episode here at the Dan Rich Report. A new week starting a little bit late thanks to that 3-day weekend. Ooh, aren't 3-day weekends sweet? You know, there should be some kind of movement pushing for them to become the norm. I get it. There's a lot of things that we gotta be worried about and fighting for, but I feel like we could make a little bit of room for this. But anyway, following this 3-day weekend, our whole schedule has been thrown asunder. Mondays are gone. They're not fantastic anymore. Tuesday is here. It's a big news day? What? Jared Jackson, say it ain't so. Big news has now invaded Tuesdays.
I mean, you know, when news, big news takes over, big news takes over. I mean, I'm not the one that controls it. I'm just here to talk about it. You know, I mean, this is above my pay grade. But as you point out, these past few days on this beautiful 3-day weekend has left me with literally no sleep. So I'm super tired, John. I've already had my coffee, but I need to kick in something a little higher. So in case you guys don't know, Tang has all of the caffeine that you need to make sure you get through your morning. Tang, the official drink of JR's Candies.
Don't do that, first of all. Second of all, I'm 90% sure you're joking. Tang does not have caffeine, does it? It can't. No orange beverage has caffeine.
I know, it's got a lot of sugar because that just hit me right in the back of my.
Okay, so we're going to die. Me, because I have been drinking a lot of caffeine. Him, because he's becoming Tang before our very eyes. We have a lot of news that we're going to be talking about. A lot of stuff that we have to get to. But I want to start off with a public service announcement following from a conversation JR and I were just having. It is as pointless, maybe more, than any appeal I make to the American people. I have no influence, nothing I say matters, and this least of all, especially because this is one of the areas where a lot of people agree with me. Stop with the fireworks, you bastard. Stop. You can do a show, do a thing in the water that people have to go to, and it happens for a solid, awesome 15 minutes. Do not just set off fireworks for 4 hours at night. I can't take it. My dog will never be the same. It's too much and it has to stop. And it's not just on the crazy people that set the fireworks. It's on all of us, okay? Because like with the cops, if one cop did something wrong and all the rest of them came down hard on him, it would stop, but they don't. And we need to put as much pressure on the fireworks people. Basically, we're bad cops. That's what I'm saying. You're a bad cop until you help me with this.
I guess the problem is the fireworks lobby that apparently has bought off all of our politicians to allow this to continue to go on in my neighborhood. I'm talking like the next door at people now. They need to go out. They need to be out. Well, I mean, it's just the way it is, bro. I'm tired of it. Honestly, I was preparing a counter assault, but I didn't do it just for legal purposes.
I did not
go out there and confront the would-be bomb throwers. But no, there's a chance for people to act like they're shooting off guns without shooting off guns. It's just sometimes it gets the exhilarating part of it out of them. And it puts anger in the rest of us.
And it could be guns. I don't know. It is impossible to know if they're actually guns that are being shot. And by the way, you might live in an area where it's not as common and fireworks are nice. That's fine. And I know fireworks is just a thing, right? They've been around forever. I don't think so. I don't think that this is the same situation as it was in the 80s for a couple of different reasons. One, I like to imagine that in the past generally people set off fireworks when they could see them. No, now they just set off loud noises in the middle of the day for absolutely no reason. Two, it's great. You know, capitalism, it makes everything cheap. Fireworks are too cheap. They really are too cheap. They need to be more expensive. It should be like Chris Rock said about ammunition. It should be $5,000 for a firework. So if somebody sets off a firework, you know that they paid for it at least. And three, oh yeah, they gotta be louder than they were, right, JR? These are just bombs that are going off. Yeah. I don't even think there's a visual component. It is just a bomb that is happening.
Every summer they give stats about who people are getting killed by gun violence and stuff, because it takes an uptick in summertime. People are out and they're being stupid and having fun and getting drunk. So that all happens, but there's probably an uptick in deaths on the 4th from fireworks related injuries. There's an NHL player who died over the weekend because he was in a hot tub and one of the mortar shells hit him, I think in the chest or something. 24-year-old NHL goalie. His life is over because, hey, let's make some loud noises and shoot it at each other.
Yeah. Yeah. This is basically America spends like 53 weeks, for the most part, almost all of us united saying, look at all those idiots and their gender reveal parties setting off bombs. And then 1 week we're all like, hey, let's do it. And everybody just does it. No, it's just as stupid then. And someone in Twitch chat was like, I think it was my husband fights fires and I'm a vet. It's the worst time. Yeah. Like, don't we all love dogs? And don't we all love to drive them mad for 1 week? So I apologize for the unnecessary rant that has little to do with the news, but we're a sick culture and this has to be one of the areas, lowest hanging fruit that we fix, please.
I mean, I'm not saying anything, John, but Juneteenth, the real full Independence Day for America, there wasn't this kind of fireworks. But
yep.
On what's recognized as Independence Day in America, there are violent fireworks. So I continue to see these comparisons. Which one is the peaceful, quiet evening? Which one is the loud, violent evening?
Yep. Maybe it's cultural. That's all I'm saying. What's up with us? Okay. Well, if you like loud noises, we're going to give them to you right into your ear holes here on the show today, but about other topics as well. So we got a lot of stuff we're going to be talking about for the next 80 minutes or so. So please stay tuned. Please hit the like button and share the stream as we launch into the news. And you can send us messages, as many of you already are, in the super chat and on Twitch and tweets and all that. We'll be responding as we go through. But with that, JR, are you ready to get into some news?
I'm ready now. I got my thing. I'm ready.
Awesome. And before I do like my formal like starting the story thing, we're going to talk about this because I think it's important. It's not sexy. It's not going to get any views. Like, I know that we're supposed to care more about that stuff, but this is important. So we're going to check in on it. Okay. So please bear with us as we talk about this stuff. COVID. Sorry, that's my bad. The pandemic has not yet ended, despite some saying that that is the case. But that is not to say that there aren't some reasons to feel better, at least briefly, before it turns around and gets worse again. So I'm gonna try to give you a little bit of good news with your bad news. I'm gonna mix it together. So good news, COVID is now no longer the leading cause of death in the US. In fact, it has fallen to 5th or 7th, depending on how you look at it. If we bring up this chart, you can see that at one point it had spiked so that it was the worst. But now it has fallen below things like heart disease, cancer, stroke, respiratory illnesses, those sorts of things. So the sort of normal chronic things that regrettably kill thousands of Americans on a daily basis. So that is, it has fallen. That is good. And the reason it has fallen so much is if you look at the number of cases per day, COVID has become much more rare. We're on the extreme right of that screen. You can see that that dark winter. Remember like when people are predicting the dark winter? And then the right was laughing at them. Why are you pretending it's gonna be a dark winter? Yeah, well, look at that thing. That's insane. It didn't need to happen. So that's good. But a little bit of mixed news in this, because I wanna show you the numbers. Now, overall, deaths in the last 2 weeks are down about 38%. We had on the 5th, 194 deaths reported. Now, it's a weekend day, so there's a lag. It's gonna be a little bit higher, but whatever. We're below 300. Which is great. We have not been below 300 deaths a day for over a year now. The bad news is tests are down a good bit too, -17%. Cases are up 5%. Now, cases being up 5% isn't great when the Delta variant's going around and all that. What makes it worse though is that in nearly half of all states, it's trending upward. So it's not 5%. On average, in every state, which would be bad in its own way. It's going down in a lot of places because they've been vaccinated. And in other places, it's up fairly significantly, as you'll see in just a minute. Vaccinations are going down, actually. We're getting fewer than 1 million doses being administered on most days. And less than half of the country is fully vaccinated. I know we haven't checked in on that in a bit, but it's still true. Less than half are fully vaccinated. We got 47%. Now, thankfully, 65 and up people. The numbers are better. 78% are fully vaccinated. 88% have at least one dose. And they're, of course, in the most risk. So that is good news. But we're not done with this vaccination-wise, except that we sort of are in a different way. And you know, JR, I want to give you a chance to respond. I just want to put up this chart so you can see state by state how the cases are going. And some of them, like 5% overall in the US, but Arkansas is up 121%. Missouri 45, Florida 63. Others are down. but some significantly up as the Delta variant starts to spread like crazy. So there's some good news there, there's some bad news there. JR, what do you think?
So at Arkansas is the one that's up 121%. Look, I think that's the leading one on these, along with Florida at 63%. Yeah, so I see headlines about the trends and where it's going, and then Biden states versus Trump states that are getting that are feeling the effect more. And this is what I have seen, because I have family in Michigan. You know, I got some folks and friends family and friends in Missouri, and I'm asking, like, on a general basis, like, is it harder to get to some of these vaccines? Is the rollout that much more difficult? Because we're in Southern California, and it was pretty easy. It was widely available to the point where people who weren't looking for it were getting solicited it, as if they were like outside of a Trader Joe's and it was Greenpeace people walking around going, "Hey, why haven't you gotten your vaccine yet?" You know, I'm sorry to Greenpeace, but you got to stop telling your people to be such a-holes. Anyway, it was widely available, so if you wanted to hear, you got it. And so maybe the rollout is the problem, is what I'm thinking. Maybe it's a combination of the fact that people have been told they don't need it, or hey, I already got it, so therefore I'm immune already, all this stuff. But it's probably a little, as I was thinking, it's probably a combination of both. And how do we fix that again now? And also, how much do we have to really care about the folks that don't want to? It's come down to a personal decision, as we've always said. I mean, not as we've always said, but as people like to say in American America, personal decision, personal responsibility, personal responsibility. Hey, we're at the personal responsibility levels now. And if you choose not to, that's up to you. And many people that choose not to won't die. I'm happy for you. That's great. And there's some that are gonna choose not to that will die.
Yeah, it's sad, so it's, yeah. You know what, that I think is something that we should focus on. So there are still people that are getting sick. There are still people who are still dying in this pandemic. Cases are going up in some states while deaths are overall down. So who is dying? I mean, if you've been watching for a while, you know that we predicted kind of like this situation more than 6 months ago, that it would remain, but it would kind of be a thing where there's some people who can't get the vaccine. There are some people who might not have had access to it yet, maybe in the US, but it's mostly people sort of opting into this, unfortunately, and the numbers are starting to bear that out. I want to show you a bit of a video of Dr. Anthony Fauci talking about the efficacy of the vaccine and how it's influencing who gets it and who doesn't.
Look at the number of deaths, about 99.2% of them are unvaccinated, about 0.8% are vaccinated. No vaccine is perfect. But when you talk about the avoidability of hospitalization and deaths, Chuck, it's really sad and tragic that most all of these are avoidable and preventable.
Yes, most of all of them are avoidable and preventable. So regrettably, because our media sucks, you've probably seen more headlines about a blank person who was vaccinated, got the virus anyway, rather than what you should know, which is virtually everyone who's gotten sick isn't vaccinated, and that you could massively cut your chances if you were to get it. Even, by the way, against the Delta variant and the other variants that are coming. So recent information out of Israel, I say this because maybe there's a chance right-wingers will care about it if that's the source for the information, but the Pfizer COVID vaccine appears to largely prevent hospitalization and serious cases, but it's significantly less effective against preventing the spread of the Delta variant of the coronavirus. So it isn't necessarily as successful as stopping people from becoming a little bit symptomatic and spreading the Delta variant rather than classic COVID. But the sickness you get tends to be much less severe than it would be if you didn't have it. And there's another study from researchers at the Hebrew University and Hadassah University Medical Center said that the Pfizer vaccine is 60 to 80% effective against infection from the Delta strain, which is obviously lower, but I've looked into it and no vaccination is 0% effective against the Delta strain. So it's still beating that. And unfortunately, like, it's still like we said, JR, like a lot of people have access to it and just aren't taking it, and it is starting to spread. Not universally, but there are pockets of some states where we're seeing a lot more cases, and it is possible that we could be entering into another wave. But it's going to be a very different wave than we've had so far.
Yeah, and you know, we'll see how that goes, because there's all these factors that push people to this degree, and you may see where those people's thought processes may lay out in this new approach or this new thread to how these things are spread now. You may see it in certain pockets that you've heard certain pockets talk about how much disdain there is for the virus. I mean, when it comes to science and math and numbers, they kind of don't change just because we want them to. They'll change based off of actions and results. That's how facts and figures work. There's a cause and then there's an effect. You know, it's this whole thing about science I heard. And when the cause is happening and then the effect is what you've changed or what you've altered to make sure the effect is different, and some choose and some not to, the numbers are just gonna fall into place for the way it is. That's just how science works. Nobody can control that. And I feel like I'm talking to a kindergarten class, but that's the argument that we're having, is whether or not what has been put forward to help with the effects of something, if you don't choose to take part in it, that's fine. I'm not mad at anyone for that. I feel like a lot of the anger comes from people who are mad for people who have taken those precautions. Hey, if you think they're gonna all die and grow, you know, a new leg out of their neck, laugh at them when the leg starts growing out of their neck. Just sit back and wait then, you know. I don't get the anger over it. Now, there's also the anger from the other side. I don't wanna negate it completely, from like a lot of left folks, or even neither, I wouldn't call it left or progressives, just people who've decided to accept the science that maybe are angry at other folks because they do affect their communities, but that's beginning to lessen now. It's gonna affect the communities that have either not had that access to it, which sadly would be the case, or ones who've just chosen not to. We're gonna see it as it comes, and all we can do now is just watch.
Yeah. Last point I want to make on this, someone in the chat, I think it was Tyler, said all the waves have been different, which is totally true. Every one of the waves has been different, but the last big wave we got was, you know, over the winter into January, February, and the beginning of March and all that. And that was before the vast majority of people had access to the vaccine. This is the first one that we're going to have where effectively, if you wanted it, you could have had it. For the most part, not for everyone, but for the vast majority. And we could potentially have a wave of just people who've chosen not to. And I understand, we're fake news. We're bastards, we're commies. I don't want you to die, conservatives. It doesn't have to happen. You're choosing to. And I have tried for a year and a half to get through to you. And I just can't, because unfortunately you've chosen to go with other people. Well, I apologize to the audience. You had 3 days off of this, but I'm going to inflict this person on you again. Because you need to understand that there's tens of millions of people who believe that she's far more credible on this topic than me or Dr. Fauci or Jay or anyone. So here's what happened. I happened upon a tweet by Congresswoman Marjorie Greene, and it launched me down a bit of a rabbit hole. And I'm gonna start off as she did eventually. There's many tweets of this thread, and I'm not going to read all of them to you, but in the sixth, she said this: no one cares about the Delta variant or any other variant. They are over COVID, and there's no amount of fear-based screaming from the media that will ever force Americans to shut down again. Forced mask and vaccines will cause Dems to lose big. All voters are over COVID. So it's gonna get even worse after that. But I wanna start off with, like, the things that have caused some people to be censured. Like Ilhan Omar, for instance. He's like reading into something she said and thinking, does that sort of evoke something negative that we should be more sensitive about? There's no evoking here. There's no reading into here. No one cares about the Delta variant or any other variant. The Delta variant killed hundreds of Americans yesterday, certainly over the last week or so. It is killing so many people, nobody cares about it. Oh, sorry, did you lose a family member? Did you lose a friend? No one cares. Shut up. Shut up about it. Why are you crying about this person that you loved that died needlessly? No one cares. Stop whining about it. That is what this congresswoman said. I'm not reading into it. I'm not speculating. I'm not going one step farther. No one cares about the Delta variant or any other variant, this congresswoman says. This thing that is still killing and making sick hundreds, thousands of Americans every day. And that was just the sixth tweet in a thread. And nobody cares. She could just say it. She won't get any trouble. She's not going to lose any donors for this. No one cares about the thing that might have just killed your mom or your kid or your grandfather, whatever. I lost a family member. Many people watching this lost family members, lost friends, families that are still grieving. No one cares. Stop talking about it. Stop worrying about it. No one cares about it. And that's just the beginning, JR. It's going to get worse, but
Yeah, the first part of this is no one cares if your friends or family or anyone you've ever known has died of this, right? The other part of this is that, look, the voters are gonna vote down Dems big on this. There's no matter of fear-based screaming that will force Americans to shut down again. So she's worried about shutting down, which again, why would Americans, whoever you think are your opponents in America, want America to shut down? If you haven't noticed, you've seen lots of Americans who got vaccinated who are now back to doing barbecues in their backyard, having friends over and posting about it. I don't think you can continue down this narrative that your opponents in America are against living, that they're against going out, that they're against having fun. I'm not sure how that's gonna sell, because you go, oh, look at those Antifa leftists. They just like to stay in their house. I thought they're always out screaming and violently confronting you. Exactly. Which one is it? Are they at home or do they love to be out? Jesus, it's constant with the stupidity. Oh, and also all voters are over COVID. Forced masks and vaccines will cause Dems to lose big. Mm-hmm. That was last year's talking point. We're over the forced mask because people are getting vaccinated. Crazy how that works. You can't keep pushing the same thing and thinking, and again, this is only about voters. That's what this push is for. Never once did she talk about the lives of people are improving. Look at everybody making all this extra money. Now things are opening up, because none of that is on their radar. They don't care about people getting back to their lives. They care about pushing voters into thinking that they are the godly ones and everyone else is the evil ones, so vote for us. That's the bottom line.
Jer, can you imagine if like an immigrant coming across the border killed someone? One immigrant killed one person and Rashida Tlaib said, I don't care. Done. The whole thing's done. Every Democrat is canceled.
Yeah.
Hundreds a day.
Well,
amazing. Unfortunately, it doesn't end there. By the way, that was the sixth. I don't even remember what the fifth was. There's some, like, it's literally everything. So she does two things. She attacks like a lot of people who all happen to be black randomly while claiming that racism doesn't exist. And two, all of her tweets basically end with every American agrees with me on this. So wonder that you guys lost the election. So weird how that works out. But anyway, she goes on to say, and I gotta throw up a little bit more of this. Dems' embrace of the progressive squad, aka communists, are going to be their downfall. People don't want the Green New Deal and don't want to be forced into dependency on Chinese batteries in their government mandated EVs. Yeah. No matter how many lies AOC tells on Chinese TikTok.
My God.
Because you got to fit in a bit of the Chinese stuff. It's like you got to get that too. It's not enough to do the Islamic stuff or about Mexico. It's also China because of TikTok. Why not?
Why not?
I want a government mandated EV. Give me one. Give me one right now. Come on. I want that with the Chinese batteries. Here's an idea, Marjorie. If you don't want Chinese batteries in them, how about we subsidize the development of American battery technology? Doesn't that seem like a good idea? Maybe then it could be American batteries in your government mandated TikTok that the progressive squad, AKA communists, want.
It's funny, Marjorie. There's these phones people carry around. They say Samsung, you know, that American company. They've got these things called batteries in them that everyone has and uses. You know, those Chinese batteries that are taking over America. They took over a long time ago with their batteries and their Hyundais and their Hondas and their Toyotas and their Nissans and their Infinities and their Lexuses. Jesus. Oh my God. The Japanese and the Chinese are already here. Mm-hmm. The Koreans are there too. It's crazy. Those scary people have implemented.
Technically, I think Samsung's Korean, but yes.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, no, but all of them. Like, by the way, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. Chinese connects to everything that's not American. You know that, right?
Exactly. Well, I wouldn't assume that she could tell the difference. But anyway, okay, we're gonna break in one sec because there's just so much racism just going through. She just has like everybody hates Kamala, even Demi. Like literally, that's one of the tweets. So she goes on to say, everyone hates Ilhan Omar, both sides of the aisle. She is an anti-Semitic, hate America, ungrateful refugee who married her brother and broke the law to get him in the country. So everybody hates her. I guess I hate her. JR, why do you hate her so much? Everybody hates her. She's anti-Semitic. She's so anti-Semitic that it's basically like Marjorie Greene is being sent to a concentration camp. Like that's the next analogy. Like, oh wait, so now you're back to having a problem with anti-Semitism after all of what you've said and done. It's just okay, I'm gonna stop. I'm not gonna read anymore. But it's still out there and like she's so popular. She's so popular. It's so stupid and grammatically just a mess. Anyway.
This is the legacy of Donald Trump. I'm telling you, it doesn't have to make sense. As long as you throw in the buzzwords, you're in.
Yeah. Oh yeah, she goes on to do an asshole countries thing too. That's like literally the next, that's tweet 14. So she's just taking his lines now, by the way. And she says that if you don't like the flag, you should be banished from the country. You should be canceled if you don't love the flag as much as her. So again, don't buy any of the cancel culture stuff. Anyway, with that said, we've got a lot of other news that we need to get to. So we're gonna take a short break. When we come back, updates on the tragedy in Surfside. We'll be talking about that as well as the sea. It's on fire after this. Welcome back, everyone. Let's jump back to some news, including just about one of the most tragic stories of the past couple of months. Over the weekend, the search for generally now the search for bodies in the tragic condo collapse in Surfside has continued, and we have updated information about that. The death toll had, when we produced this, risen to 28. I have since seen that it has risen to 32 confirmed deaths. It is possible that by the time you watch this, if you're not watching live, that it could even be higher. Three bodies were discovered overnight after the remainder of the partially collapsed building was demolished and rescue efforts resumed. A fourth body was found later in the day on Monday. 26 of 28 victims at that point have already been identified. 191 people are now accounted for, while 117 remain missing, which means that as devastating as the numbers are already, it is seems much more than likely that the numbers will be far, far higher. I mean, if it is as bad as it seems like it could possibly be, this could be one of the most devastating losses of life in a single tragic incident in literally many, many years here in the US. Now, there's another angle on this that we want to get to in just a second, but JR, I don't believe that we've talked about the collapse of the condo and all that. Any thoughts?
Well, as information leaked out to find out what was the cause of it, and you find the negligence based off of that. The first thing I thought we're talking about, I mean, I'm not to relitigate that. I assume a lot of people have seen it with the way that they built the pool on a concrete surface. I think it was above like the parking garage, and leaks happen after that because of the way that they didn't plan forward with that. You know, just structural mistakes or oversights when they were building this building. So the first thing I wondered was, so the developer for this, where else have they built similar style buildings?
Yeah, because that's true.
Talk about prevention. Let's find out if we're seeing the mistakes that were made by one particular group or developer. Let's find out where else they potentially made these mistakes. You know, let's not wait for this to happen again, potentially somewhere else, for us to discover that more people could die. That's the first thought. Yeah, and also in addition to that, we talk about how we're discovering more and more bodies, and rescue workers are doing this and are demolishing parts of the building. Just think of the mindset you now are in, these rescue workers, and finding bodies now, weeks after the collapse. This is really brutal, and I hope they're getting help, because this is something we overlook a lot. You know, we congratulate and shake the hands of our firemen and rescue people, but we don't think about the toll it takes on their mental health. You know, what they've seen and what they've had to experience, and the way they've had to recover people's bodies.
It's got to be devastating.
Yeah.
I'm like, we throw around the term of like, I can't imagine, but I can't imagine. I'm not really going to try, because even that might be pretty awful. Yeah, absolutely terrible. And a couple of the stories that we've mentioned over the past week on the pre-show, just a reminder, there was a pair of two grandparents that were found in bed. Their bodies were recovered. There was this story that almost certainly was a result of like something to do with power or something, but it was a woman who had her parents were believed lost in the building. She got multiple phone calls from their number in the initial hours and was like terrified that they might be alive, buried, trying to call out. The authorities say it's almost certainly just something with the phone line being broken that's causing it to call, but why specifically that number? So there's just a lot of tragedy to go around here. Now, we want to briefly turn to maybe something good that can come out of this is them actually taking seriously the regulations of buildings like this and the need to have periodic safety updates, checking to make sure that things are safe. Because as JR was pointing out, with this building, there appear to have been a lot of different warnings. Not just that structurally it was built initially in a way that was suspect, but there had been like signs of persistent leaking and things like that that were ignored. Yeah. People who'd left the board in advance, and a lot of just people not caring. It costs money to check these things out and to make necessary renovations, and generally people are willing to risk killing other people to save a little bit of money, unfortunately. But now, at least, so long as the media is staying focused on this, there might be a little bit more pressure to actually look into these things. And Miami-Dade County officials said last week that they were now prioritizing reviews of 24 multi-story buildings that either had failed major structural or electrical inspections required after 40 years of existence, or had not submitted the reports in the first place. But the county's own records show that 17 of those cases had been open for a year or more. Two cases were against properties owned by the county itself. The oldest case had sat unresolved since 2008. Yeah. So like everybody was like, woo, Obama won when it started. And they've just waited for 13 years, hoping that nothing terrible happens. And there's a lot that we could go into, but basically, regulations for multi-story structures like this tend to be more stringent than for single family homes, for obvious reasons. They're far larger and they tend to be in areas that are more dangerous to build in, including near coastlines where there's danger of not just water, but also high winds, hurricanes and things like that. But despite that, they also tend to be built by large corporations that have a lot of lawyers that can drag these things out and avoid having to comply with the regulations that are actually there. And so let's jump through just a couple of examples of this. Bay Harbor Islands has struggled to bring all of its buildings into compliance with tough recertification rules. 14 structures were supposed to submit 40-year inspection reports back in 2020. Six of those never responded to notices, according to records. As of last week, town records listed only one building as having successfully completed the process. So it is one thing that just they don't submit the information. But like when it's requested from them and they just ignore it, I get that 2020 was a bad year. But do you think that you individually would be allowed to do that?
Oh.
But corporations are allowed to do that. And there are at least dozens of people living in every one of these buildings, hundreds of people living in some of these buildings. It's the, I'll get around to it. You know, it's busy, 2020. Someday I'll get around to it. And hopefully one of the silver linings coming out of this tragedy is that maybe the people in charge of this stuff will be a little bit more insistent that the buildings and the companies that control them actually respond for once.
We'll see, because I mean, we've seen tragedies when it comes to corporations, which we're gonna get to, on a fire in the middle of the ocean. We've seen regulations that are supposed to be put on corporations and large builders and anything that ends up in a tragedy. And we've seen the buildup to that happen. And then when it doesn't get changed, we think, oh, now finally things are gonna change. We've seen it with guns, we've seen it with all kinds of stuff. Whenever there's a company or corporation that could be responsible for it, we kind of hope it blows over and we go on to it. Oh, it's just one isolated event, we'll move on. Hopefully it'll be better next time. And the more and more people are starting to see, there's this automatic trust in corporations to do the right thing in this country. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. We just have a general thing like, oh, well, this is America. This isn't some third world country where buildings just collapse. I mean, if something happens to a building, it's because some natural disaster, you know, a fire, an earthquake, a tornado hits someone's house. That's how buildings get destroyed in this country. No,
yeah.
No. These types of things is what leads to it. But we have this trust in our system that is totally flawed, because no one's gonna see these types of things before it happens. Like, oh, you know that there's some people who've ignored the notices for 12, 15 years.
Yeah.
No, we're not going to talk about that until it happens. And if you think these regulations are suddenly going to change because of it, the same people who didn't care people could die still don't care that people have died.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not the sort of thing that certainly gets national attention. The one chance was maybe John Oliver would do a thing on it or whatever. And in this case, I don't think he did. Usually he's ahead of the curve. But yeah. So we'll see. I mean, look, these buildings along the water. Like when we talk about the effect of climate change and sea level rise, it's you know, worse effects of massive storms and things like that. Devastating. It's going to take a toll on these buildings. You can't get slammed by ever worsening and becoming more common hurricanes year after year after year without it doing some damage to the buildings. And so if you combine that with lax bureaucracy, corporations that don't care whether the buildings are safe, you could see a lot more buildings collapse like this. Okay, apparently We are racing through time. You know, okay, we'll take our second break now. When we come back, the sea is on fire. I can't wait to go to that. But more news after this. Oh God, we have fun in the breaks. Okay, everybody, welcome back. We have but a little bit of time remaining. And I want to make sure that I don't lose this, so I'm stretching very awkwardly. Okay, so we've got more news coming at you in just a sec. Let's jump to that. Something happened just a couple of days ago. We can't not talk about it, and it kind of speaks for itself. So take a look at this video. So that right there was in the Gulf of Mexico, a pipeline burst and set the ocean on fire. And I like to think of myself as a moderately intelligent person. I don't understand how any of this works. And I will echo Edwin, who tweeted, if the ocean's on fire, what does spraying it with water do? And I honestly don't know. I'm sure it does something. I'm sure they know what they're doing. But I don't see why spraying water on it would help. Anyway, we've got details on this, but JR, what did you think when you first saw that?
It would seem like they would know what to do, right? Because they're the ones who are the professionals in this situation, right? But as you find out more and more, I remember I've always said this, like there's a point in every person's life when they realize that their parents don't know everything. You know, we grew up trusting our parents. It is a general basis. I'm sure many people have had horrific parents and they knew when they were three that their parents were idiots. But I'm just saying in general, for people who had responsible parents, there's a point when you're like, you know, 15, 16 years old, you go, wait a second, my parents don't know everything. They're just humans, right?
Yes.
And it's weird that as adults, we never really get to that point where we think, hey, just because this guy is the CEO of some oil company, or this guy is the president of the United States, or this guy is the senator from here, or this guy runs this huge multinational corporation, that they know what the hell they're doing. They don't. Many times they're doing things to fulfill their own needs and their own pockets. Everything outside of that, they haven't thought about, because why am I wasting my time making money on being concerned about other people? And we still have this trust. So when you see people spraying water on the middle of a fire in the middle of the damn ocean, we go, oh, well, they must know what they're doing. They're not me. I have no faith that they know what they're doing. They caused it. So why would they know what they're doing to fix it?
Yeah. So look, people in the audience who know a lot more about this are saying either it's chemicals, it's nitrogen. It's something, it's not just water, that's what they're saying. Or it's to lower the heat in the area or something, which seems perfectly reasonable. I don't know which or all of those that it is. That's obviously kind of a side point. This doesn't need to happen. Something like that, as cool as it looks, and yes, it looks like a kaiju is about to rise out of it, or Aang is about to rise, the Avatar has returned, like let our powers combine. It's cool in that way. Aside from that, none of this needs to happen. And I got news for you. Not all sources of energy generation are like this. One of the cool things about a windmill is that if it cracks, it doesn't blow a city away. Like if a solar panel breaks, like the raw unrestrained force of the sun doesn't pour out of it. Like they're much safer generally. And we could have that. We could put money into that. We choose not to. Now look, in this case, this isn't even like a US thing. This is a Mexico state-owned oil company, Petróleos Mexicanos, also known as Pemex. But this is obviously an international thing. Internationally, we are still consuming oil. A lot of the oil that we consume doesn't even originate here. We buy it from other countries, so the other countries are gonna dig it up quite naturally. That pipeline, by the way, or that field, I should say, it's not just that pipeline, produces more than 700,000 barrels of oil per day. And we don't have to do that. We don't have to produce 700,000 barrels of oil a day, let alone the millions and millions that we do internationally. And we have all of these reminders that we've gone too far, that we could take a different path. It comes in the form of environmental disasters, some of which are devastating in their loss of life. Some like this are mostly just terrifying, but it's almost certainly devastating to other forms of life. Like nothing that's happening in the ocean there is gonna be good for any number of different species. But we could go in a different direction. It's just a question of, are people going to care? Are people going to get the message?
No. Cause again, this Michael Bay movie that we're watching is one of those things that it's just like, oh, it's there and these happen here and oh, they'll take care of it. And I do think there's probably gonna be a certain percentage of people that will be like, oh, this is a Mexican company. Oh, okay, that's detached from the United States. That's not us. It's in the Gulf of Mexico. That doesn't affect America, huh? And who cares if it doesn't affect America? Doesn't it affect the world? Or do we not care about that? Are there these invisible walls that we have in between each country and each continent? Does that end the fact that this fire doesn't care about your boundary lines? It's affecting what's happening in our world. So yes, it's a natural thing of thinking, oh, we didn't do it, so everything is fine. We're affected by the world, we live in it. It's just, I don't know the detachment that you can have when you see something like this and go, well, yeah, you know, I mean, it's not us, it's not our fault. Yeah. But what you can do is look at what we do and find out if we can prevent this from happening. We can stop the process for getting to this point where it is our fault. Because that would be devastating even further, because we know what kind of power and control and manipulation we have on the world. But you know, those things don't have to come to fruition. It's just a matter of, oh, look at that, and oh my God, it wasn't our fault.
Yeah. By the way, so when something like that happens, when you see the ocean on fire, that obviously draws your eye. When there's a bad storm or a wildfire or something like that, that's devastating. But every once in a while, we do try to remind ourselves here that these extreme events are devastating, but they also sometimes have like an outsized influence on our amount of attention and stuff that's just going on all the time that doesn't necessarily look cool or sexy, doesn't draw media attention, can be just as devastating. So we want to turn to something in that area right now. The long-term effects of climate change are going to be devastating in a lot of different ways, but we also try to remember that they're not going to be proportionately awful for everyone in the same way. Some people are going to and have been suffering worse. And in this case, the persistent overall heating of the earth is going to be worse for the working class, because the working class in all areas is going to be less protected against rising temperatures. You can see that right now. With the heat dome in the Pacific Northwest and in Canada, where unhoused people are obviously being devastated. Those who can't afford air conditioning are suffering worse. But in general, just every day, the heat conditions are going to be worse for the working class. And I want to thank Mindy Isser of Common Dreams for doing a write-up about this and some of the ways that this is going to happen. And she starts off by acknowledging that like the 100 million computer workers are going to largely be able to work indoors. They're not going to be necessarily affected by severe weather or just regular weather that is much higher, severely hot weather. But the working class, a lot of it is going to be affected much worse. They're going to be working outdoors. Their companies aren't going to care about their welfare in the same way. People like farm workers, letter carriers, construction workers, sanitation workers, and other outdoor workers who are unable to escape to air conditioning are going to be on the front lines. Right now, it's already bad, but it is going to get worse. Between 1992 and 2017, at least 815 workers were killed and more than 70,000 injured just in the US from heat stress injuries. It's likely that the true number of workers hurt or killed is much higher, because of course it might not be logged as a death of that sort, or it might not be reported at all. And many of those who we've cited working in those sorts of industries are undocumented or otherwise vulnerable and in precarious positions in terms of their work, and might be less disposed or able to actually report illnesses to OSHA. So this is going to be devastating. It already is for virtually everyone, but for the working class, they're going to bear the brunt of it. They're going to have the worst effects each year as this heat gets worse and worse for longer and longer periods of the year.
Again, John, I'm telling you, it's natural. I feel like, who knows, I didn't research this. It's like natural tendencies. People are gonna look, oh, 1992 to 2017, only 815 people died. That's a 25-year span. We've only lost 815 of 25 years. You guys complain about these hundreds of thousands of people that have died of COVID here in just 1 year. I mean, that's bad, but 815 over 25 years, I think we can deal with that. It's telling you, bro, it's just the way we approach this type of stuff. It's, we've only lost this many. And again, because of who they are, the class of workers that we assume they are, or the value of their life that we assume that they have is, it's the job they did. It's what they need to do. I mean, we talk about coal miners. I mean, anybody who have these dangerous health stripping jobs, we're like, well, that's their job. We see them as some of the best in our country. Oh well.
Yeah. Someone had a useful comment in YouTube. They said mobile AC tents should be standard at work sites where people work outside, which is probably true. That probably should happen. But like, shouldn't it be kind of a bad sign when we have to set up something that I can imagine them having on Mars? Like, you need to set up the special tent where you can go and cool down after the harsh outside environment. This is Earth. We're supposed to live here. This is supposed to be like, we're made for this. We've evolved to this, but now we're destroying it. And soon we'll have to act like we're Matt Damon, barely trying to grow potatoes to survive.
Oh, I was going with Arnold Schwarzenegger choking on Mars.
Oh, that's true too. That might happen. We still got oxygen for now. We'll see. Anyway, very briefly, I want to jump into the story. So there has been this going on now for months, basically an epic situation involving Nicole Hannah-Jones, who is one of the academics that has borne, I would say individually, like the most of the brunt of the right wing strike back against critical race theory, against any sort of acknowledgement of historic wrongs, systemic racism, all of that. She originally lost access to tenure for the university that she was going to be working at. That's the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Eventually, after so much pushback to the pushback, they decided to offer it to her. But that's not the direction she's going to be going in, actually. Less than a week after trustees belatedly voted to grant tenure to her, she announced that she would instead be joining the faculty of Howard University. She'll be a tenured member of the faculty and serve as the newly created Knight Chair in Race and Journalism. Also, we'll be joined by Ta-Nehisi Coates, a fellow MacArthur Genius Grant recipient at the historically black Washington, DC based university. She's going to be founding a brand new Center for Journalism and Democracy, according to the university. So that's an interesting turn. I did not expect that after the public pressure got Chapel Hill to offer the tenure that anyone in that position historically would have gotten, that they didn't offer to her. Jared, what do you think about that, about her decision to go and start this new thing at Howard instead?
It's kind of twofold, as you said. First, the forced offer of tenure, which also already shows you the way that they would potentially treat her. You know, if you already didn't respect the person that you were hiring to take on this position, how much would you respect them and their work once they're there? And we'll find out details of how much they actually respect her and her work, and a good reason why she made this decision as well. And to go to a university that would actually maybe take into account the things that you would do and implement that would actually better the education of the students that are in that program at your college. I mean, that's the whole point, right? Have someone there that's gonna implement something that will benefit your students that come in. If one university doesn't want to, why am I working at a place that doesn't want to take part in education?
Yeah. Exactly. And by the way, this is some context that I probably should have mentioned earlier. She's the journalist for the New York Times, best known for creating the 1619 Project, which focuses on the place of slavery in American history and the systemic racism institutionalized in the US government in multiple states since then, that got a lot of people to think about these topics. But unfortunately, it seems to have produced about 10 times more passion on the right to ignore that these things ever happened, to continue to try to rewrite the history of slavery as something that wasn't that bad, that nobody really cared about. And that continued, by the way, sorry, what were you gonna say?
So to disprove the point for people who are looking to implement a curriculum that will teach things like critical race theory and how it's systemically racist in our every aspect of our lives, one of those big aspects of our lives in our education system decided to go against her teaching it because they want to prove that there's not this institutional racism within every aspect of our lives by exhibiting institutional racism in this aspect of our lives. Good job.
Yeah. Yeah. And like almost to demonstrate the need for this sort of education, I saw this morning talking about 4th of July. Oh my God, I'm blanking on, former press secretary, why am I blanking on her name? The last one.
Oh,
possibly the biggest liar.
Not the first
Kayleigh one. McEnany.
Yeah,
Kayleigh McEnany.
I was thinking of Huckabee, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. No, Kayleigh McEnany said the 4th of July is awesome. Virtually all of our founding fathers opposed slavery.
They all did.
Did they?
That's true.
Did they?
Oh yeah,
totally. Did they personally? Did they in terms of what they wrote in the Constitution? Kind of seems like that's not true. Maybe you should learn a little bit. But no, Anyway, so this is interesting. Going to be interesting to see where this goes, what that new center is able to produce. But it definitely is a heads up for universities bowing to right wing pressure that belatedly reversing course isn't necessarily going to appease people.
You're not going to have to think too much about where people stand. They're going to tell you. That's my last thought.
That's true. Okay, everybody, that is unfortunately all the time we have for our linear audience. Thank you so much for watching, everyone. There's a lot more coming though for YouTube and Twitch. So stick around, more news coming up after this.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.